Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
Now you have the university saying that it is on the... Tony today. Expulsion is on a table because the students are occupying Hamilton Hall. Hamilton Hall is where they have classes and other things. And the students who were in there with the encampments, the students who were there violating policy, the students that were there screaming for destruction, they didn't want to leave when Columbia said, you got to be out by 2 p.m. yesterday. Got to be gone. And you got to sign a paper saying you won't do this again. And they said, forget that. We'll take the hall and we'll drape Palestinian flags, and then we'll put up signs that say Intifada, uprising, just to prove that we're peaceniks. No, wait, I'm sorry, not peaceniks. That we want to kill. The Columbia students are violent. Now, you'll see a lot of people try and make the claim that somehow they're not violent. This was Oprah's girlfriend, Gail King. I mean, they're friends. I didn't mean it that way. Stop it. I really didn't mean it that way. Stop it. She has a different take.
Now to breaking news overnight, a major escalation in the protest at Columbia University, where demonstrators against the war in Gaza have now broken into a building on campus. The group hung a banner renaming Hamilton Hall for a little girl who was killed in Gaza. That building has been occupied many times over the years. Tom Hansen is there at a very tense moment with police standing by. Tom, good morning to you. It was tense all afternoon yesterday. My heart was racing watching that video on the campus yesterday afternoon.
Can we just stop? You're naming it for a girl who died in Gaza. It's awful. People are dead in Gaza. Absolutely true. Is anything going to be named for the babies that were killed by Hamas? For the babies that were kidnapped by Hamas? Anything? No? You're going to forget that happened. These people. It's important to understand how these people act and operate. It is important to hear how they engage, but can we take a moment and go back to the wording of Gail King?
Now to breaking news overnight, a major escalation in the protest at Columbia University, where demonstrators against the war in Gaza have now broken into a building on campus.
You still think these are demonstrators against the war in Gaza? Gail, even Charles Boyd is laughing at you. Tony Katz, say hello. Tony Katz today. 833-GOT-TONY. Call in. Would love to talk to you. 833-468-8669. That is the number. And there's a lot. There's a tremendous amount of, let us prove that this is not about Gaza. Did you catch Lawrence Jones doing the work on Fox and Friends? He's interviewing this woman outside of Columbia. She's wearing a keffiyeh. Do you know a keffiyeh? That's it's usually white and black, and it's a headdress. Really what has become a symbol of is Palestinians, or one could argue that people who put a keffiyeh upon themselves, they want to be oppressed. But that's one man's take. This is how the conversation went.
How do you feel about them taking over the building right now? I think that their cause is a just cause, and I hope that the administration really hears their demands. I think they're just demands.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about...
If the janitors couldn't leave the building, what else would you call them? Respectfully detained? Friends of the protesters. But you gotta love the language. I think that's a really false narrative. It gets better.
Some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus.
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative?
And she walks away.
Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
My colleague just came back. One
so this is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So this is what you see at these protests. Once you get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on October the 7th, the rape of women, what's happening there, they deny what happened. As you know, that is actually factual now, that the janitorial workers were blocked inside of the building. And anytime you bring that up, the Jewish cause, the Jewish people, the kids that feel unsafe on campus, they deny the reality of it, guys.
Absolutely factual. And I am not somebody who believes in denying reality. I believe in force. Force is necessary. You've heard me say this before, and I want to make sure that we continue to be on the same page and explain this theory. Force is necessary. I could show you video after video of students not being allowed on campus. I can show you videos at Columbia where Jewish students on campus are surrounded by these Hamas-loving psychopaths and physically forced off the campus. And the Jewish students, I do think that they are Jewish, or they might not be. They might just be, you know, students of any religion who are decent. And they're saying, well, should we fight back? No, we shouldn't fight back. And for me, the blood boils. Of course you should fight back. When three students or five students stop you from walking and they push against you, you need to grab 500 friends and you need to run right through them. And you say to me, Tony, that is violence. No, that is the antidote. The people who have stated war never solved anything never looked at the Civil War or World War II. They never looked at any war. War solves many things. Sometimes it's not the best. Sometimes you'd like to avoid it. But the idea that war never solved anything is a lie, historically speaking. The idea that these are the people who tell you if somebody's bullying you, you gotta punch the bully in the nose and then they'll learn. And now all of a sudden they're going to tell us about violence? I don't listen to these people. Why would you? Force is the only thing these people understand. When you're in my position, you can get in a lot of trouble for stating this. So let's make sure we understand what force is. Let's make sure we've got this well understood. At Columbia, just like at Indiana University and a host of other schools, the students who are engaged in this violence should be expelled. They should be thrown out. This should happen immediately. And not only should they be expelled, but their brothers and sisters should be refused admission to the universities. That should happen first. That should happen immediately. There should be no time wasted. This is UCLA, where a mother called the police because her kid's having this problem. And this is, she released the phone call to UCLA police. Listen to how the police are telling this parent what they can and can't do.
Right. So are the protesters allowed to not allow a student who pays tuition access to their class in the library?
No, they're not allowed. But unfortunately, they have kind of taken over that little area right there. But is there any other entrance that your son can enter through?
No, they are barricading every area for him to get into. And you know, with all due respect, why is that even tolerated? Like, why should a Jewish kid have to go to another entrance?
It's I don't know if I'm going to say it's tolerated, but unfortunately the police are not intervening with that right now. And this is coming from the university, so if you had any questions or concern, you would take it with the university itself.
So the university has taken a stance that they will not, in fact, allow or help Jewish students get to their classes, that this is going to be tolerated.
They have, we've received a directive to not intervene at this time, yes.
Force. You don't send your kid to UCLA. You don't donate to UCLA. You don't hire anybody from UCLA. And you push to have the entire administration fired. Gone. Goodbye. Never mind the Title VI violations here of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Force. Everybody loses their job and never gets hired again. I know, I can't necessarily prevent them from getting hired again. But the use of force to get these people out of their positions should be happening now. Right now. The use of force on the Department of Education and the Education Secretary, Miguel Cardona, who has the audacity to tell you that he's very concerned with what's going on campuses.
Secretary Cardona, do you believe what is happening to Jewish students at Columbia and in other colleges and universities across this country is okay?
Absolutely not. I think what's happening on our campuses is abhorrent. Hate has no place on our campuses, and I'm very concerned with the reports of anti-Semitism. I've spoken to Jewish students who have feared going to class as a result of some of the harassment that they're facing on campuses. It's unacceptable, and we're committed as a Department of Education to adhering to Title VI enforcement. We have 137 open cases.
Doesn't matter how many open cases you have. It matters how many people you've thrown in jail, how many people you've thrown out of university, how many billions of dollars you withhold from these universities, these hate havens. That's what matters. Everything else is nonsense. And it is up to members of Congress, our elected representatives, and us to force the Department of Education to make these things happen or to break the Department of Education in two. When I say that I'm a believer in force, you can quote me because I mean it. Force takes a lot of forms. But if you haven't noticed everything that we're seeing, they are not afraid of force at all. They can take over a building and it's just. But if you try to walk onto campus, that's a violent act. These people are diseased. Why should we ever allow them to set the guidelines or the rules? These people don't know anything about rules. These people don't know anything about decency. These people...
I hate Illinois Nazis.
Well, settle down there, Julia Jake. These people are terrible people who should have no say in how the game is played. They're going to tell us about, look at what the police are doing. How dare they? In the state of Indiana, The Indiana Democrats there in the General Assembly, they're very concerned about the use of police force on the campus of Indiana University. You got any problem with the superintendent of the Indiana State Police, Doug Carter, on this show saying that he heard students and faculty talking about death to Jews? Any comment there? Oh, hell no. Yeah, no comment about that. You're unserious. The Indiana Democratic Party is unserious. If you were serious, you would have condemned Congressman Andre Carson of Indianapolis for his friendship with Louis Farrakhan years ago. But you don't do that. Doesn't matter to you if they harass students because of their religion. But if the student had been black, oh, you would bet they'd have a strongly worded letter. But now the problem is police. Don't listen to these people. You want to go be a hateful son of a you-know-what? You go right ahead. I can't stop you from that. You want to stand on a street corner, be hateful? I'm not going to stop you. You want to stop people from walking? You want to stop people from going to class? You want to harass people? You want to threaten people? You want to try and convince people that genocide is good? Force. The answer is force. As a matter of fact, there is no other moral answer. Not a one. And I will debate that anywhere. I'm Tony Katz. So Trump gets a $9,000 fine for violating the gag order. I'm going to get into that. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. That's how you get to be a part of the show. NBC wants the NBA to the tune of $2.5 billion. They're trying to pull the rights from TNT, which has been covering the NBA for a great number of years. They've been paying about $1.2 billion under the current deal, and NBC is saying, double it, $2.5 million. So they're talking about playoff and regular season games that would be on NBC Network, as well as Peacock, which is the streaming service. And they're saying we'll carry two primetime games a week. TNT can't do that because they don't own a broadcast network. Man. I don't know. The last I checked, the ratings were down. Like, weren't ratings down for the NBA last year? I could be wrong. So I have two questions here. It's better off to have it than not have it, because then you could do something with it. Right? So why allow your competition to have it? It's better that you have it. Disney, which owns ESPN and ABC, they are going to pay about $2.6 billion to renew their deal, which is up from $1.5 billion. So TNT days might be numbered. They might not be able to afford the overall fee over the course of the years. It is down 27%. The producer, Jason, if you didn't hear him, first round down 27% from last year. I would like to know, does getting the NBA include getting the WNBA? Now, it could be that they're really different things in a different setting. I'm just curious, does any of this have to do with Caitlin Clark effect? I could be told no. It could really have nothing to do with it. No, it's a separate thing. Is this just what it costs these days? $2.5 billion for the multi-year deal. By the way, it's not multi-year. That's a year. $2.5 billion a year for NBA games. Dang.
The Biden protests that are going on are horrible. It's all caused by him because he doesn't know how to speak. He can't put two sentences together. He's got to get out and make a statement because the colleges are being overrun in this country. The anti-Semitism, all of the problems going on, they're being overrun. I've never seen anything like it.
Donald Trump, of course, having his say. He's dealing with this ridiculous, ridiculous trial where he just got fined $9,000 for violating a gag order. Tony Katz today, 833-GOT-TONY, 833-468-8669. That's how you get to be a part of the show. Feel free. And he's not stopping.
The whole thing is a hoax. All of them are hoaxes, including the civil cases. They're controlled by the White House. They're controlled by Democrat judges and prosecutors that were put there specifically. They hate Trump. And the people are getting it. That's why we just came out. A new Emerson poll just was released about 2 minutes ago. And I'm leading by a lot in every swing state and leading in the general election. And you saw the CNN poll. I'm sure they aren't too happy with it. But the CNN poll was fantastic. So we're here. This is a hoax. This is a judge who's conflicted. Badly, badly, badly conflicted. I've never seen a judge so conflicted. And giving us virtually no rulings. I'm not even allowed to say advice of counsel. This is a new one to me.
Look, he's given his press conferences everywhere. He doesn't seem to care. The judge, Judge Juan Merchan, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, ruling that Trump violated the gag order, barring him from making public statements about witnesses, jurors, and others connected to the trial. He did it nine times. He got fined $9,000 for the violations. And at that rate, Trump can keep talking about the trial for the rest of his life. It's not going to stop him. The only question is, does it help him? There's a real argument about whether or not Trump is doing himself any favors. Now, there is the whole conversation about whether or not he cares, whether or not he can stop himself. But the gag order in and of itself, never mind the madness of the trial. The trial is about hush money. Here's Stormy Daniels, an adult star? Was she the stripper? Whatever it was, there was a little in flagrante delicto, although she claims there wasn't. But whatever it was, here's my take. It happened. If I'm being asked, whatever happened between Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels?
Yes.
It happened. And I think the people who think it didn't happen...
Yes!
...are being a little bit unserious. But I don't care that it happened. It's meaningless to me. He then paid her, wrote her a check to say, hey, don't say anything. That's not a crime. Jonathan Turley, George Washington Law, Andrew McCarthy, former assistant U.S. attorney, Southern District of New York... William Jacobson, Cornell Law professor, they'll all tell you there's no crime here. None. Zero. Alvin Bragg made this up. He's the district attorney of New York. This whole thing is nonsense. Trump, for anything you don't like about the guy, did not break the law. That's the only argument here. No law was broken. This shouldn't be a case. Therefore, there should be nothing that keeps Trump from having a conversation, thus the gag order nonsense. Why is this judge, Judge Merchan, engaged? I don't know if it's Merchan or Merchan, M-E-R-C-H-A-N. Why are they saying you can't speak? Well, remember, the reason that this comes now during a presidential election is to keep Trump from being able to speak freely, to keep him from being able to campaign properly. It's as clear as day. For people who say, oh, that's ridiculous, well, these people want to be unserious, they can. These charges could have been brought any time. The gag order issue is indeed a real one. That you're barring Trump from engaging in a conversation. And so is it that Trump can't speak but others can? Is it that Trump can't speak but other but this one can have a say? No, wait, also this one can't have a say? He shouldn't even be on the stand. This shouldn't even be happening. Now, let's say that we all agree with that basic statement. It doesn't then ameliorate the question of whether or not he should violate the gag order. Well, I shouldn't say ameliorate the question, because that wouldn't be right. That'd be to improve the question. That's not what I meant to say. That's not the right word. And begs the question is not actually the expression that's used. Just because there should be no gag order doesn't mean that Trump should violate it. Might not be helping himself in that way. Could be hurting himself. You can argue that the thing is corrupt, but that doesn't mean that you poke the bear. It's corrupt, but you work through it. It's like, for example, when you get pulled over by a police officer. And while certainly, whether we're talking about what police are doing in clearing out college campuses, of course, this horrible story out of Charlotte, where three U.S. Marshals and a Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department officer were killed as they were serving a warrant. Multiple officers got shot. It's a tough job, and we respect the job. If I'm pulled over by police, I'm not answering any questions. I don't answer questions. I'm not even angry. I don't answer questions. There's no good come from answering a question. You understand? Everybody by now should understand this. We are designed as human beings to have conversation, to rationalize things out. Police officers are designed, trained to utilize that against you, no matter what it is, in any possible way that they can. Now, you might think that that's an anti-cop sentiment. It is not. I think it is a problem with policing. I do think it is something that should be changed. But if that's how the police officer is trained, I'm going to be aware of this, and I'm not answering questions. I won't do it. I wouldn't do it at all. I've had casual conversations. There are times where just a quick back and forth is fine. So I will give you an example. Was it Monday? It was last Monday. And I was coming back with the family in the minivan. My brother, the good Dr. Katz, was in town. We're in the minivan. It's in the evening. Transmission goes. Minivan is gone. Gone. And so we pull over on a pretty busy road, like a highway kind of road, and get an Uber for my kids and my brother. And my wife and I wait for the tow truck. Transmission went. That was it. It was over. And all of a sudden, we see the lights behind us. Like, oh, the tow truck is here. I get out of the car. It's a police officer. It's night. We're pulled over on the side of the road. The cop pulled over to make sure we were all right. Now, cop didn't have to pull over. One could argue that. But I had gotten out of the car thinking it was the tow truck. It was the police officer. We had a conversation. You guys all right? Yeah, waiting for a tow truck. I had the conversation. I did not have to get out of the car. I could have checked to see who it was, and I could have ignored the cop altogether. I didn't have to answer a question. But I got out of the car. I had walked because I thought it was the tow truck. Oh, look, hey. She was lovely, by the way. It was simple. Boom. Got back in the car. She didn't, take her flashlight and start looking around, which that would have been a problem. Oh, don't be looking in the car. I don't need to be looking in the car. She drove off. Tow truck came a few minutes later. Everything was fine. Everything was good. Me, I don't answer questions. I think it's very acceptable to not answer questions. I think that's the way that it should be. But going back to this gag order, going back to whether Trump should speak, it's the same thing. Talking won't help you. It can only hurt you. So I would advise not doing it. But then again, you can advise Trump all you want. It doesn't mean he's going to listen. But we do have to keep in mind at all times, that what we're seeing here is just abusive. I want to see more moves made to stop abuse. This brings us to the state of Georgia, where Brian Kemp has now signed legislation. It's called House Bill 1018, the Second Amendment Privacy Act, protecting the privacy and sensitive financial information of people who purchase firearms in Georgia. So this means that your financial data is kept private and the state and nobody else is entitled to it. Specifically, it prohibits financial institutions from requiring the use of a firearm code known as an MCC code, merchant category code. So this was a big conversation a couple years back. A store that sells firearms could be seen as sporting goods. But what the people who are opposed to the Second Amendment were trying to do was get Visa and MasterCard to change the MCC to be about firearms so you could see who was selling firearms and you could obtain how many firearms per group were being sold. Because if your card is now matched to that MCC, they know you bought a card. They know you bought a gun. Visa doesn't need to know you bought a gun. Visa can kiss my butt. Full disclosure, my family is in the credit card processing business, the merchant services business. I've taken over a fair amount of it. My brother, the good Dr. Katz, has taken over a fair amount of it. My father and mother are still working the business. You help where you can. None of it's easy, but it's family and you do it. I know a little bit about this business. For what reason does Visa have to know what it is you're buying? Who are they to know anything? Why do they think this is in their purview? Why does any credit card company think that this is in their purview? You want to know why there are those of us, and I think you're with me, oppose digital currency through the federal government? Why do these people have to know what I'm buying? If you only have digital currency and you remove the concepts of cash, you track every credit card purchase down into that granular level, how soon before the government says, ooh, you want to buy a Snickers? We've looked at your digital health records and your BMI is just a little too big, so we're not going to allow that purchase. Oh, you already purchased ammunition this year. We're not going to allow that purchase. It is beyond offensive that any group or organization thinks that they should have the right to decide for you. So good on the state of Georgia. This actually goes to, and I have had this told to me more than once, was told to me by a friend of mine, who he was going in and seeing his doctor to have a vasectomy.
Ew, David.
Yeah, I know, exactly. His wife had to sign off on it. I'm sorry. What now? His wife had to sign off on a vasectomy? Why? What does she have to do with it? He can decide, a man can decide to have a vasectomy anytime that man wants. His body, his choice. And now, no, your wife has to sign off on it? These are the kinds of things. It's like when you go to a bank and, yeah, I'd like to withdraw $10,000. Oh, what is it for? None of your business. Just give me the cash. They get to ask? Nutty. Good on the state of Georgia. Let's see more states do just this. I'm Tony Katz. Because I love you the way I do, and don't deny my love for you, it's quite real. I spared you from the Drew Barrymore show audio, where Drew Barrymore, fawning over Vice President Kamala Harris, explains to her that she has to be strong because we need a mamala of the country right now. No, I will not. I will not share it. And you're like, oh my gosh, he's going to share it. Oh my gosh, he's going to play it any second. Nope. No, I'm not. Instead, I will hit you with this right here. See that? That's called timing, people. That's why I'm a professional. I refuse. But it's a great example of the level of twisted and pathetic and infantile and childlike. Childlike is good for children. Man, it's a terrible way to run a country. Just awful. So let's not. Find everything at TonyKatz.com tomorrow, everyone. Take care.